Well, well, Wells Fargo. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Wells Fargo says this morning it's forecasting a profit for the first quarter. The San Francisco-based bank says it expects to earn $3 billion for the quarter that just ended. This is a lot more than what analysts were counting on. Wells shares are up more than 30% in pre-market trading. And it looks like Wall Street futures are now getting a bigger bounce, too. This is the last chance this week for a market turnaround. Wall Street has the day off tomorrow for Good Friday. The Dow picked up 47 points yesterday, a gain of 0.6% to close at 78.37. Asian markets saw some healthy gains today after a new stimulus package was announced in Japan. And European shares are up right now. A German property lender, one of the biggest banks in the country, is seeing its shares up today about 15%. That's because the German government's trying to nationalize Hypo Real Estate. A pair of American private equity firms, though, are opposing the move. Stephen Beard has more.
For Germany, this is unprecedented. The government in Berlin does not nationalize companies against the wishes of shareholders. But this is what's happening here. The government is insisting on buying out EPO shareholders. But two American private equity firms say no. J.C. Flowers and Grove International hold between them a 21% stake, and they say they want to hang on to it. Brooke Unger of The Economist magazine says the German government claims nationalization is essential. EPO is close to collapse, and that could have terrible consequences for the whole economy.
This bank, Hypo Real Estate, can't be allowed to go down because it'll bring the entire system down. They want to restructure it, and they want to do it on their own terms, and they're basically telling the shareholders that either they cooperate with that or the government's going to take over.
The U.S. private equity firms say they're considering a legal challenge. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The government just reported new jobless claims fell more than expected last week, but the total number of laid-off Americans staying on benefits rose again. That's now at 5.8 million. That kind of number is doing a number on events like the Masters Golf Tournament. Big names like Tiger Woods tee off today in Augusta, Georgia. This year, financial giants like Citigroup have announced they're skipping the Masters. And they're not the only ones, as Jennifer Collins reports.
The Masters is a dream destination for a golf lover. Take this scene from the movie Caddyshack.
The crowd is standing on its feet here at Augusta. The normally reserved Augusta crowd. Going wild.
The recession, though, is expected to hit Augusta hard. The tournament wouldn't comment on ticket sales, but economist Raymond Sauer of Clemson University says, if you're wondering how the Masters economy is faring, just look to major financial corporations.
That group of people in the marketplace are the very same group that would be having a good time during Masters Week in Augusta.
The companies that serve those VIPs say business is down. Diane Starr heads a rental agency in Augusta.
20% of the homes that we normally rent did not get rented this year. And most of those tend to be the high-end houses.
So if you're looking to drop $50,000 on a big party house, Star's got a deal for you. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet. Think about all the comparisons we've heard recently between the Great Depression and what's happening with the economy right now. A new academic commentary is out this week from a couple high-profile economists. It says most of the comparisons we've seen so far are flawed because looking at the U.S. isn't enough. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell is with us. Chris, why is this particular commentary something we should pay attention to?
Well, Barry Eichengreen and Kevin O'Rourke are two serious scholars. And Barry Eichengreen, in particular, at the University of California, Berkeley, is the leading scholar of the Great Depression. And the mark of his career has been looking at the period of the 1930s, the Great Depression, as a global phenomenon. He's the establishment. He's sober. He doesn't shout from the rooftops.
And he's looking at things like world industrial production, world stock markets, global trade. What's the key here?
There are two keys here. One, it's a global phenomenon that he's looking at, just the things that you mentioned. And two, when you look at those things, they're diving faster now than in 1929, in 1930. Here in the U.S., we're having a little bit of a dialogue. Are we starting to see the Ben Bernanke green shoots? Are they starting to show up in the housing market? And what he's arguing is you cannot just look at the U.S. It's a little bit misleading. You need to look at the world. And when you go to China, Eastern Europe, Latin America, there's a lot more weakness. It is a global phenomenon, not a U.S. phenomenon.
So, pun intended, this could in effect be pretty depressing when you look at this analysis. But
I was wondering when you were going to say that, but go ahead.
There is an interesting silver lining to all of this when it comes to the response then and now.
Right. The two that they emphasize is monetary policy has been aggressive. Central bankers around the world have cut their rates compared to the 1929-1930 period. Secondly, governments have been far more aggressive on the fiscal side, the fiscal stimulus. We're having a big debate here in the U.S. about our fiscal stimulus and was it too big or was it too small? But when you go around the globe, governments are taking action. The third thing that I want to emphasize is the recent G20 meeting, where the IMF is getting increased funding. And one way of looking at the genius of the G20 meeting is that it said, this is a global phenomenon. Hey, we got this global institution over here. We're going to fund it better and allow it to act quickly to stem a crisis if it emerges in Eastern Europe or in Latin America or somewhere in Asia.
We'll have a link to that commentary at our website, marketplace.org. Thank you to our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace.org is also where you can weigh in on this discussion. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.